All right, here we go. Lots to get into. A lot of calls on the line. I'll grab them because you've been waiting on hold for just a little bit. Remember when it used to be light out at this time of the day? Those were the days, weren't they? But now it's cold, miserable. Whew! Is what it is. We'll get back into this Penn Hill situation in just a little bit. So much more to talk about. And we will hear from Mike Tomlin. We normally hear from him Monday, sometimes, always Tuesday, sometimes Monday. And it's a sometimes Monday, I think. But first, DJ's in New Kent. Hi, DJ.
Hi there. I never heard this question asked, but does that self-driving car know not to avoid one of our big giant potholes, or say a dead deer laying on the middle of the road, or a fireman that's standing on the side of the road with his hand out to stop?
Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
Does a human driving know to avoid all of those things, and does sometimes a human hit those?
No, but I would like to see what.
So
that
a human
car
has
does
never hit a pothole. A human has never hit a pothole.
No, I'm asking. Well, I slow down or try to avoid them if I can.
But what if? Wait a minute. You just said if you can.
If I can, yes.
Yeah. So this gets down to exactly what somebody was talking about. And maybe you're lost here. So somebody was, they made a post. I think it was on Twitter or Reddit or something like that. And they had posted, what happens if a deer runs out as one of these Waymo cars is driving down the road? And a deer runs out in front of it. What happens? Do you have that same question?
No, I'm asking about a dead deer laying on the ground.
What happens if a human is driving and a dead deer is laying on the road, DJ? If it can react in enough time.
If you see it, yes.
If it can react in enough time, it will circumnavigate it. If it can't, I guess it will run it over. The notion that people think that this is supposed to be some magic car is so lost on me.
I'm just asking if it sees those things to try to avoid it.
Yeah, it has sensors and it tries to as best it can, just as like a deer that runs out on the road. Sometimes accidents are unavoidable, but I'll say this. If you read all the data and you check out all the stuff, the numbers are much lower, more lowly improbable, whatever. There's a much lower chance of it happening if it is this Waymo car than a human reaction time.
I was just asking if it identifies those things, that's all. I believe it can be better, absolutely. I was just asking if it identifies, say, a dead deer laying on the road, if it picks that up.
Yeah. It sends sensors out in front of it and picks up objects that are on the road.
Okay. I never heard that question asked that way. That's why I was asking, because, you know, the big potholes like in Pittsburgh Mills, you know, at least you know to go around them. I didn't know if it knew that.
Nobody's going to take a Waymo to Pittsburgh Mills. I'm serious.
Yeah.
What's left to go there?
Okay.
What are people going to Pittsburgh? I'll tell you this. Let me just be square, because it is kind of humorous, especially on this station. There has not been an eighth of a mile parcel of road that has been disproportionately talked about more than the freaking driveway to Pittsburgh Mills in world history. Frankly, no one gives a hell about it. There's like 12 people a day that shop at Pittsburgh Mills. And here's the other thing. This Nandar or whatever that owns the mall, these people got more money than God. They don't care how many times you find them. God bless everybody trying to get it fixed. They don't care. They just don't. And nobody's taking a Waymo to Pittsburgh Mills. Lou's in Aspinwall. I'm glad we can sew that up. Hi, Lou.
What's happening?
Not much. You ever been in a Waymo?
No, I choose not to. I want to be in control of my own destiny.
Okay. Yep. Sounds I'd like to see a, prophetic.
I'd like to see a, them back up a tractor trailer in a tight space up to a loading dock. I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay. They might. Well, okay. Why, when it comes to these Waymos, are there all these, for instances, that we need them to topple or catapult over or whatever? Who's going to make you get into one?
Nobody. I choose not to. It's my choice.
Right. But
I want to be in control of my own vehicle, not a computer.
Okay. Well, then
I'm not going to let a computer take over my life and be. I have trust issues, especially on the road today because everybody's in a hurry.
Uh-huh.
And I'm retired, so I don't have to go anywhere.
Sounds good.
I go to the store, and that's about it.
Where do you go? Shop and Save?
I go to Coons on Banksville.
Well, you should. You go all the way from Aspinwall to Banksville?
Yep.
Holy heck. Well, I know we do a lot of commercials for Coons, so that's good. But that's a long way to drive. How much gas you put in your car?
Well, I have an incentive of a girlfriend.
Oh, how old's she?
How old is she?
Yeah.
I never asked her. It's not none of my business.
Wait a minute. You don't know how old your girlfriend is?
No.
Is she really your girlfriend, or is she like on the side? What's happening here?
It's only a number. It's only a number. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. All right.
Yeah. But let's get back to
how long? Let's get back to this. How long you been going with her?
A couple years.
Okay. She live with you?
No.
Oh, she just takes you to Coons?
No, I come over her way. We both go to Coons.
Oh, you ever see Rob Pratt out there?
I don't know what he looks like.
Oh, real tall guy. Dark hair. Always dressed well.
I can't see through a radio.
Pretty good observation. Anyway, what else you got?
Well, I'm just saying, I never backed up a tractor trailer, but I could see it be pretty difficult for a AI-generated machine or computer to do that type of work.
I actually think that might be easier than a human doing it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it has sensors and things. You ever driven a car with a backup camera?
No, I have a 2012 Malibu.
Oh, I pictured you as a Buick guy.
I have a Malibu. You know why? They don't rust. The rocker panels are made out of galvanized metal.
Watch yourself. So that salt doesn't get up in that rocker panel?
No, not at all.
You know, if something gets up in there in those rocker panels, you can have a fire right in the compartment.
No. Not my car. They're made out of galvanized. You know what galvanized metal is?
No.
You don't know what galvanized
metal is? No, I do know what I thought you asked me a different question. Yes, I know what it is. You're driving like a tank. I mean, that thing could be in the Army.
Well, I take care of myself because I don't want a payment. I live within my means.
Sounds like it, man. You're a good guy. Find out how old that girlfriend is and call me back.
Okay, brother. Have a nice day. See ya.
Okay. Leaves the line open for you at 866-391-1020. That's 866-391-1020. I love this job, Sting Call. Huh. Still thinking about it some. Oh, Ray Petlin with the weather. I'm not a big weather guy. I just kind of see what the weather is the next day. It's going to be cold this week at 20 for a high on Sunday. Good luck. I can feel a sneeze coming on, but it's far enough away that it might not be for a couple seconds. I'm contemplating taking a call. I may sneeze in this person's ear, and the recipient of that's going to be Chris in Greenfield. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing, Colin?
Never been better. How's everything with you?
I'm good. I got to talk to you about two things. The first one is your Buckeyes.
Oh, yeah, not the Ohio State Buckeyes, but the cookies.
Yeah. Did you ever try a butterscotch one with a white coating, like a white cover?
It's funny you mention that. I have last year. I found it okay. Like, I wouldn't eat 20 of them, one or two, and I had it with a cup of coffee. It was pretty good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like this. But I like the chocolate ones better than the peanut butter.
Same. Absolutely same. Barb Warwick, bless her heart, I think it's a terrible tax hike proposition.
Well, I have a little question for you. You know, we're talking about putting this, raising the taxes and the people paying for it. And, you know, I get concerned because every time there's a new administration, they say they're going to go in and have UPMC pay their share, payment in lieu of taxes.
Uh-huh.
They don't pay anything. And do you understand that?
I totally understand it, and I'll tell you exactly why. You tell Highmark to come to the table. You tell Pitt, Duquesne, and Carnegie Mellon to come to the table and have that same discussion. And
exactly.
Highmark will be more than willing to pony up some more money. Highmark also, don't forget, pushed forward.
I'm talking UPMC.
What's that?
I'm talking UPMC.
So am I. And here's why, Chris. Those other places all have the same nonprofit status. And they're not paying taxes the same way UPMC is. And UPMC, as one of those big five, looks at it and says, we're not going to be the only ones called out. Have the other ones come to the table and designate them. But unfortunately, the previous mayor, well, he's still mayor now for a couple weeks, is in bed with the SEIU, and he made it his mission to only point out UPMC and to not invite those other people, or mandate, so to speak, those other people to a meeting or to the table. And as soon as that happens, UPMC will be more than willing to discuss and potentially play ball. I do know. Like, I'm not trying to be flip, but I do know. Why should, if there are four other entities who are in the same boat?
I agree with you. I totally agree with you. And what has to happen is, well, for example, UPMC owns half of Oakland. So, or all of it, actually. And I just don't understand why, you know, as seniors, everybody has to pay taxes and all of them don't. It's not right.
I think that's the whole thing. It's not everybody. Duquesne, Pitt, Carnegie Mellon, and Highmark are in the same boat, and they're not being called out.
Why do you think that is?
Well, one, because there was SEIU labor that was very readily available and pushed into those other places. And the former mayor, well, the mayor still, Ed Gainey, was just as much an operative for SEIU as he was somebody who was elected mayor of the city of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm.
And look, again, they put up a lot of money for the Pittsburgh Promise. And I do think that UPMC should pay a little bit more in taxes for sure. But do this. Go walk around your neighborhood or go to the mall or go somewhere where there's a lot of people. Ask anybody you see if they know somebody or are related to somebody who doesn't work for UPMC. Let UPMC medical centers leave and watch what happens to this area. They employ an innumerable amount of people.
They all do. It's, you know, when you combine all of the small businesses and all of the everything, they employ a lot of people, too. And people are paying their fair share of taxes. And that's not right. They all should come to the table and have to pony up.
Tell Corey O'Connor, and I'm sure he probably will, tell him to make sure when he has a meeting that Highmark is there, that Duquesne is there, that Pitt is there, and that Carnegie Mellon is there. And while you're at it, what about the diocese? You know, the biggest sham in this country is that churches don't pay any taxes because they are fine. And look at the Catholic Church in particular. You got this guy at the Vatican who's from Chicago that's not afraid to opine exactly what he wants to happen with immigration in America, but then he doesn't want to have any of his entities pay any taxes. What are you? Are you an activist? Are you into politics? Or are you into religion? If you're in a religion, shut up and tell me what next song to sing and what page to turn to in the hymnal and leave it at that. That's a sham and a gigantic sham in this country. 866-391-1020 means put a tassel hat on and some gloves. At least that's what it means to me. 866-391-1020, 866-391-1020. Crazy story out of Penn Hills. And you know, Here's the even crazier part. I was thinking about this. Tamara Rush did a great job of finding this story, digging it up. It was apparently on their school board, minutes, the video that they put out there. And to my knowledge, I didn't see it anywhere else around town. So she did a great job. She called some people who were involved in this story. But I think it is something that can't be fixed. Once you put words out there like this, you have to wonder, at least I do, if it is something that's too far gone and there's no way in the world these people will ever be able to work harmoniously again. Give a listen to this story.
Newly elected member Reginald Hickman voiced his opposition to the board's decision.
We have a school district that's 63% African-American, and I really do think that we would best represent the community having an African-American elected as president. Thank you.
Erin Vecchio, who has served on the board for 26 years and is president for 9, says she was shocked by the comments.
I don't pick and choose who I serve. That's what a school board member does. Race should never be brought into a school board or any other seat. We're here to serve the community.
When asked if Vecchio felt things would have turned out differently if the roles were reversed, and she had this to say.
If I'd have said what he said, I'd be on national news.
Tamira Rush, News Radio KDKA.
Oh, we got a situation here. So to rehash, here are the players. Here are the combatants. You heard right there Erin Vecchio. And she has been on the school board of Penn Hills 26 years, president for 9. She was voted by her peers as president, the ones on the school board. Now, whenever Reginald Hickman raised some concerns about her, that was in the interim between when she was a school board member and was up essentially for re-election of board president by the board, and that's when he raised such concerns. She ended up getting voted in. He obviously didn't vote for her. So some other things she said were this.
I don't pick and choose who I serve. That's what a school board member does. Race should never be brought into a school board or any other seat. We're here to serve the community.
Uh-huh. And this?
If I'd have said what he said, I'd be on national news.
Right. And then she also went on to explain all the things that she's kind of done.
We were $18 million in the hole. We had turned the lights off on the buildings. And now we have $19 million surplus. And that's because I went out and got $300 million into this school district that nobody else has ever done.
Uh-huh.
I've never faced like this in the 26 years that I've been on this board. I was the first person to bring in a black superintendent, a black coach. You know that. I never back down on that. I'm here to serve everybody.
Okay. 63% African-American enrollment, and Reginald Hickman, who it needs to be pointed out, is an African-American man, and Vecchio is a white woman. Hickman says that the representation would be better if somebody of color was the board president. That's entirely unfair. It is entirely 100% unfair for Hickman to say that. It's irresponsible as well, because now you have people questioning, right or wrong, if Vecchio has made decisions in the past or will make some in the future based on race, because somebody brought it up. That's patently unfair to her. And here's how, if you feel that way, you should point out which decisions she made that were impacted by race. And until and if you can do that, then shut up. It's a hollow claim, and frankly, it's race baiting. And it's ugly and awful. If you don't see that somebody is elected, again, by their peers to be board president, that they can effectively lead anybody, then that's your problem. And I'll tell you what, maybe this went away for a lot of people. It didn't go away for me because I have a memory. I don't know if Reginald Hickman should be the person pointing at anybody in terms of leading other people in education. Because this is the same Reginald Hickman that I remind you in November of 2015, 10 years ago, and I will read from the Post-Gazette, had his way, well, was shown the door at Woodland Hills. From the Post-Gazette, about a dozen of the approximately 40 teachers, so 12 or so of the 40 teachers, at Edgewood Primary School in the Woodland Hills School District have been injured by their students in grades K through 3 this school year. As a result, school principal Reginald Hickman was placed on administrative leave Thursday, and the district's curriculum coordinator, Alicia Lentz, became acting principal on Friday. "I can't just let that continue to happen," Superintendent Alan Johnson said of the students' aggressiveness toward teachers. In addition to the leadership change, the superintendent said the district will increase the number of paraprofessionals at Edgewood and review IEPs for all special education students there. Mr. Hickman, who previously was principal of Woodland Hills Academy, director of the Delaney Schools Program for Young African American Males, and director of Pupil Personnel Services, became principal at Edgewood this year. He declined to comment about being placed on leave. So, whenever you've been a failed principal and you've let a classroom get out of line, classrooms, plural, to the point where teachers have been injured, multiple, not just multiple, to the tune of about a dozen, maybe you should pipe down about how people with 26 years or so are helping to lead a school district. I'm not saying you can't have questions, but if you're going to accuse somebody of making decisions based on race, give me some meat. Give me some things that happened. Tell me exactly what Erin Vecchio did where she gave people short shrift based on color. And if you're unwilling, unable, or can't do that, what you're doing is just race baiting, sir. Mike Tomlin in just a few moments here. First, let's hear from Brian. He is in Penn Hills. Hi, Brian.
Hey, I've been a Penn Hills resident for a long time, and am I a huge fan of Vecchio? No. But in this situation, Hickman, you know, definitely race baiting. If you want to hit Vecchio on certain things, there's other things unrelated to race you can hit her on. But when it comes to this, I think this just cheapens actual incidents, you know, involving different administrators and anything where it might involve race by him just bringing this up and trying to just make a, I don't really know what his goal was.
I've talked to multiple people today and they've all said the same thing. She's fiery.
Yeah.
Some things she's done in her tenure, people have not liked. Sometimes
Absolutely.
She can, wear her heart on her sleeve and get a little nasty with people, but they in no time in her tenure have ever known her to make a decision based on race. And for someone to attack her for that is totally off base.
Absolutely. I completely agree with those people you talked to before. And I think for him, it's like, you know, look at your own history, man, before you try to blow somebody else's spot up.
Yeah, it's just, it's odd to me. It's odd. There's no other way to say it. If you're going to accuse somebody, if you're going to want a change based on race, show me more substance. Let's hear from Mike Tomlin. How about the Steelers are in first place? That seems crazy, but it's the truth. Postgame, Tomlin.
Man, awesome team win. I'm just appreciative of the effort of the men in that locker room. It's classic Steelers-Ravens. Unfortunately, maybe a lot of guys go down in the game, but that's kind of been a component of it too. Darnell Washington had a concussion. Malik Harrison had a concussion. Pete had a concussion. Benton had an ankle. He was able to go back. Couple other evals, I think they were able to go back, but it's really kind of indicative of how this game is played, man. Appreciate the efforts. Big win for us, obviously, in a hostile environment, and we'll keep moving. Questions?
Thank you, Tech. Down the field right off the bat, you did it in the second half, too. Was it important with some of the second half balls that you've had?
I just think we were in an aggressive posture all day. I just think that's how we got out of bed this morning. That's what's required when you're playing these guys in their venue. I just think that's the way we needed to play. We needed to be aggressive. We just been in here a lot. We're familiar with them in this environment, and that's what's required.
Like, what can you say about the defense? I know it wasn't obviously what you wanted overall, but you did hold them to the three field
goals. Man, I'm just appreciative, man. It, you know, we had start having linebackers go down. That period of time when Patrick Kring was unavailable to us was uncomfortable. But that's just the component of it. That's why it's the ultimate team game. I'm just appreciative of the collective efforts.
Coach, that likely non-touchdown in the fourth quarter, Joey Porter never gave up on that play. What do you have to say about that?
You know, just appreciative of the effort. That's just kind of indicative of how the game needs to be played, and, you know, it'll be a good example of that.
Mike, can you speak to Alex Highsmith and how he stepped up in some of the big plays he made today?
Man, I thought as the game got thick, you just really felt his presence. We're actually coming out of that very last time out, and he turned around, was walking back toward the bench with me. I was like, Alex, what are you doing, man? Get back in there. And I'm thankful that I did because, obviously, man, he made the play today.
Did you think that likely his catch was a touchdown when they called
it? I did not. But I know sometimes, you know, in an effort to get it right, they'll signal it a touchdown and give it the benefit of the review. But, no, I didn't think it was a touchdown.
Mike, big day for DK, but he also was a gunner and actually drew a holding penalty on that play. What can you say about his efforts and just showing that versatility as well?
You know, he just brought that approach all week. I think oftentimes game day is indicative of what transpires during the week. I just thought that he had a can-do attitude, man. He was wired all week. He texted me after hours, et cetera. But I just appreciate his mindset and what he brought into the building today.
Can-do attitude. I think a lot of Steelers got that can-do attitude. Crazy part is the Steelers will only get in if they win the division, right? And I know somebody was mentioning this last week that – if they get in, they're going to get a home playoff game, which is the wildest thing considering they've not had a good season. It's going to be fun to see the way the rest of this plays out.